Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And they run four. Herbert has all day in the pocket. Takes a shot downfield. Two wide open. Caught. Quentin Johnston. Touchdown. Chargers. 60-yard touchdown. Herbert to Q.
Thank you to the Chargers Radio Network for that one. It was impressive. We're used to Quentin Johnston, quite frankly, dropping those kind of passes. So to see him connect with Justin Herbert, who's on a bit of a heater here in the first two games of the season, was impressive. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Final score was 20-9, Pearl, and this was actually a perfect chargering spot. Mm-hmm. And I think years past, this actually could have been a spot where the Chargers would have, you know, snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, so to speak. Because the Raiders did have a couple drives, and to their credit, they did shut the door on a Raiders team that last week showed they could really go and do some explosive plays. No one had more explosive plays in week one than Geno Smith. Last night was way more of a slog for that Raiders offense.
I mean, all that sounds good, but is this really a week two game against the Raiders? This is when the game the Chargers always win. This is not a spot. Chargering happens in the playoffs. Like, and I know
chargering can happen at any time.
I mean, they literally won this exact same game last year, 22-10. They beat them last year. This is chargering is defined by winning the meaningless games and then losing the meaningful games. And this is clearly a week two game against the Raiders. I know you're hyped on the Raiders, but I don't think Vegas was hyped on the Raiders. I think everyone knows who the Raiders are. And this is, again, like the Chargers have to show me something more. I'll be totally honest. Like, yeah, they're really good, but this is always like, Justin Herbert looks really good. I've seen this story before. Take it to the next level here. This is not going to convince me that the Chargers are anything different yet than the normal 11-6 team that flames out in the playoffs.
Okay, well, first of all, they did beat the Chiefs in week one, something they had not been able to do.
Let me ask you this, Maggie. What does that mean?
Well, I don't know. They had to go to a totally different country to do it, so I'm not
But
sure.
I'm just saying, like, are the Chiefs a good team?
Well, okay, but then there could be a changing of the guard. And usually the Chargers, you know, even if they were set up perfectly to snatch a something like that, and to take that opportunity, there would always be that thing in the back of our head, well, they're going to screw it up somehow.
Yes, but we always have them win in week two.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. Now they're two games up on the division, and after week one, I actually thought, all right, maybe the Raiders have a little something here. You know, this was a Geno Smith who, except for last night, really could not move the ball down the field in a really meaningful way. Their offense is obviously still lacking some major playmakers on the wide receiver spot, but, you know, you would have thought that at home, it was a 2-score lead, but it was an 11-point lead, just needed the touchdown and the field goal. And then, look at the fourth quarter drives. The third and fourth quarter drives for the Chargers were like, you had the 1 5-play, 91-yard touchdown drive, but then it's 12 plays that end in a field goal. Then the Raiders match a 19-play drive, but only get a field goal out of it. Chargers turn it over on downs, then punt, then fumble. And you think, okay, this could be, there was still plenty of time to make something happen. But ultimately, the Chargers defense was just too good. I don't know. I don't know if I should be more impressed with the Chargers or kind of disappointed by the letdown here of Las Vegas after the offense looked pretty good. I know they didn't score a ton of points against the Patriots, but if you watch that game, they were moving the ball. And then this week, I don't know, it just felt really constipated. I'm not sure exactly how to describe it.
I think you could credit Jesse Minter and the Chargers defense a lot for that.
Yeah.
There's a couple questions about the Raiders. Was taking Ashton Gentry, the running back out of Boise State, at number 6, a smart idea? Because he had trouble moving the ball. I mean, Dan Orlovsky kept saying you got to establish Ashton Jeanty, but there really was no there.
No, so, to me, I was thinking about him like, you know, rookie of the year stuff kind of passed my mind. I'm like, geez, Cam Ward. I know they're not winning, but Cam Ward feels much more ahead.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, they might not win many games. Does a quarterback on a 4-13 team win rookie of the year? And his numbers aren't big because his receivers can't catch.
Right, but we're all watching that Cam's got something, right?
Yeah, no, the potential. But, I don't know if it's Jeanty either. I mean, maybe it's Bill Crosby Merritt.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it could be anyone at this point. We're really early on that. Probably not a Mary Hopp. But, you know, back to this Raiders team. I think you can see exactly who this team is by watching the film of the Seattle Seahawks last year. They seem exactly like, you know, 8-9, 7-10, draft a running back high who ends up disappointing. Like, I feel like, wait, what team does that remind me of? Tough nose, like reflects their coach, but can't quite get over the hump. That's it. They are Pete Carroll's Seahawks. Once again, a little tantalizing and promise, but I don't see, talking about no there, like they just don't have the roster to be elite right now, Maggie.
Yeah, I mean, Seahawks though won 10 games last year, right? Like that.
Did they miss the playoffs?
They did, but like they were a 10-win team.
Yeah, by name only. I mean, you know who that Seahawks team was last year. Like it's the same Seahawks team that's been like the last 5 years. They're going to fight really hard. I think the Raiders did that. One more thing about Geno Smith. Does he throw into more traffic in the end zone than any quarterback in the history of the game?
That's funny. I thought you were going to come in and defend him today, especially. He's got three interceptions, but the one of them was like right before the half, and it was more of like a punt. The one at the end of the game where Derwin James like snatches the ball off a deflection in the end zone was beautiful. I mean, that ultimately did
but
close the door.
That's because Geno was at the point where he had to make incredible plays to do anything because there was no room to go anywhere. I'm not putting that on Geno. The defense was great. The pass rush got there, and they were still able to drop back and cover, so it was hard. But Geno does throw that pass. He's like, oh, I'm Geno Smith. I can thread any needle in the world. he has so much confidence in his arm.
Yeah, he's finally got his chance to be a star, and he's going to take every opportunity.
And he's got the tools, too.
Yeah, he does. I guess the question here for the Raider fan, you know, we talked a lot last year about how you guys, especially Perloff and EJ, I felt like you guys came in every week cursing Chip Kelly to the high heavens because of Ohio State.
Get the f*** out of here.
Well, yeah. Ultimately, they turn it on in the college football playoff. They win a national championship, and it's like all that never happened. But that Ohio State offense was a little tough to watch, considering all the talent that they had. And it felt like last night, I was like, oh, Perloff and EJ are going to come in and complain about Chip Kelly. And by the way, Jesse Minter, Chip Kelly, a little Michigan-Ohio State.
Yeah, that might be
Michigan
what happened.
Michigan gets the best of them last night.
I had the same thought last night. I'm like, oh, this is a boring Chip Kelly is back. Ever since that second year.
Not week one, though.
The whole world figured out, well, he scored 20 points against a Patriots team that just got lit up by the Miami Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins could have scored 100 if they had arrived in that game in the first quarter. So I don't know what that game proved either. So again, we have to measure by opponent. It felt boring, just like Ohio State. I kind of had the same thought that, you know, and also I thought the broadcast was a little too pro Chip Kelly. They were really excited about Chip Kelly being there. I'm like, Chip Kelly flamed out in Philadelphia, was terrible in San Francisco. What track record do we have here in the NFL? I know about the college. Amazing at Oregon.
Sure.
He reinvented the game. But what have we seen of him in the NFL that can be explosive?
Nothing.
Except week one, kind of.
Yeah, week one, kind of. But then it sort of fell flat, and credit to the Chargers defense for that. They lose Khalil Mack pretty early in this game. He comes back out in a sling.
That looks problematic.
And they were still getting after Geno, nowhere to go, nowhere to run. I don't know. I was impressed by the Chargers, and then I was a little deflated here by the Raiders. I thought they were going to be at least a little bit more exciting. I mean, I don't know.
To me, it's like, remember how we said yesterday, and I've been saying, I don't care if the Bears win. I just want to see Caleb Williams be good. I'm a little bit like that with the Raiders now. I need to see Ashton Jeanty be good because they invested a very high draft pick in this guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Giants with Saquon Barkley. Like, they need to make him into a star. If you're going to take a running back at number 6, you better have a run game. And they did not have one at all last night.
No, it was it was painful because Brock Bowers is dealing with a knee injury.
Yeah, he's got this gigantic brace on his knee.
He was good in the second half, I guess maybe once he got warmed up or whatever, but it's, you know, that's something to keep an eye on.
Absolutely.
For sure. And yeah, they could not get the run game going at all.
They just don't have the receivers. They just haven't been able to build their team yet to the point where they have outside threats, relying on rookies. Boys, 11 carries, 43 yards, and honestly felt even harder than that. Like, it felt like Jenty had to make a couple moves. You know, he's small, too. You can't help but notice that. So is he going to be effective in the pass game? He's not going to be Christian McCaffrey in the pass game. I'm just worried, are they going to get their bang for their buck?
You know what? Sometimes he gets hit, or last night when he was getting hit, it's like the legs going over the head kind of thing.
This happened a little with Baker
Mayfield also in the first game. Like, every time he got hit, it was like the John Elway kind of helicopter famous play at the end zone. It was just like feet overhead. Like, on the other side,
the Chargers, O'Marrion Hampton, like, that would never happen with him because
he's too low to the ground.
And he's the size of a tree. Like, you can't, he's as big as anybody tackling him.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I know we have a lot of Raider fans.
Yeah.
Just cross country, coast to coast. Are you encouraged by everything going on? I'm going to be honest.
The Raiders.
This was maybe, I think how you reacted to one thing from last night maybe tells more about sort of what you are as a sports fan than maybe what actually happened. Tom Brady and the coaches.
That was definitely the headline coming out of that game.
It made an impact. It made me feel something. First, like a little mad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go through the emotions, process this.
Thank you, therapist. At first, I was like a little mad. I'm like, first I was like, oh, I was right about how Tom Brady has a lot of influence on the Raiders.
Right, calls Chip Kelly almost every day, they said during the broadcast.
Yeah, 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Like, meanwhile, he is calling Kansas City, Philadelphia a day ago.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to be in that production meeting. And I know some of these production meetings, they're just doing platitudes. Like, they're not maybe giving you a lot, but you do get to be around the team in a way that no other minority owner gets to be around any other team. And so you get to glean things, especially Tom Brady with 22, 23 years of experience. Like, he's going to pick up on stuff if he gets to watch practice and all of that. So then you just go right over to one of your biggest division rivals, a true blood feud. I mean, Max Crosby and Patrick Mahomes, that's a great battle in the NFL. And now Tom gets to go into the booth and sit right behind Chip Kelly and basically just info dump all whatever he got from the Chargers.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to matter, if it's going to mean it, but it felt a little unfair to me.
Yeah. Well, I kind of agree with what you said. I don't think at the end of the day it makes a massive strategic difference with these production meetings, but the whole thing just
feels around the team. Who's hurt, a little obnoxious. Who's not hurt?
Because the thing is, Tom Brady has not mastered the color analyst job either. If he was amazing at being a color analyst, I would think maybe I could let this go, but he's just average. Like, he needs to work at that harder. He's completely generic as a broadcaster.
Think of Tom Brady, the biggest killer in the world, right? Yeah. For Bill Belichick, they were doing special ops over there, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They had the league more paranoid than anybody. Peyton Manning thought the locker room was bugged, and we've never even found out if that was actually true or not true, but he will swear to it.
Yeah.
He thought the locker room, when he would go to Foxborough, was bugged, okay? Tom Brady might actually be only doing the broadcasting just to glean a 1% advantage for the Raiders. These guys are so competitive, man. I don't know if the broadcasting is just a head fake so that he can go all over the league, including big teams in the AFC, and get intel and knowledge to bring back to the Raiders.
It's insane. It's not the $37 million a year. It's the 1% increase for a team that, by the way, he will abandon the second something prettier comes along because he's Tom Brady.
He will
dump this Raiders like he dumped 3X model girlfriends. I'm telling
you. This summer alone.
Yeah, if they're 4-13, he's not going to be showing up there in the booth. I've noticed Tom Brady finds winners now.
A little bit of a front runner. But here's the thing, though. You're right, I know, but think about how much money he's going to ultimately make with the Raiders as a minority owner versus the broadcasting. I know the broadcasting is an insane amount of money, $300 million. He, over his lifetime, hopefully he lives a very long life, over that lifetime and maybe his kids get it next, like, you are going to make so much money off of an ownership stake, by any ownership stake in the NFL.
No, I think you're misreading the broadcast. I think he desperately wants to be relevant right now. And I think he knows, like, broadcasting. I mean, even the greatest athletes have been desperate to be good at broadcasting. Like, he's got to do something, man. He doesn't have football. I know he's getting this flag football game in Saudi Arabia that we'll talk about, but I think he needs relevance. I think there's two ownership situations to watch in the NFL. There's Tom Brady on the headset, strategizing with Chip Kelly to get 9 points against the Chargers at home. And then there's the Carly Ursay Gordon on the sideline at the Colts. I think her and Tom Brady should have a play call off. She's amazing. We haven't gotten into that, but Tom Brady wearing headsets, like, that is taking away from the fact that Jim Ursay's daughter is wearing headsets and commenting and writing notes on the plays. That's an incredible development that I think we have not given much attention to.
It was on our rundown last week, and we never got to it, that Carly Ursay
Gordon, yeah, that's her name. I have it in front of me.
One of Jim's daughters, who's now three daughters, are now taking over the team. Now, this I want the 30 for 34.
Oh, amazing.
She's sitting in on defensive meetings, too. Yeah. It's not just the game day.
But now they showed her on the side. She's on the sideline with the headset, taking notes like the defensive coordinator. So who has more of an impact on, this might be a poll, on play calling, Carly Ursay or Tom Brady? And actually, back to Tom Brady, is he really giving strategies? Like, hey, should we push a Genty here? Should we try to go to the tight ends more? Like, what's happening? Like, what does this actually mean? Because I need a 30 for 30 on this. Like, how can he impact the team? He's calling Chip Kelly three times a week and giving strategy? Like,
yes, he's sitting 10 feet from him.
I don't know what kind of, unless you're like, I mean, the coaches spend 20 hours a day trying to figure out a game plan. Can you really make an impact with three calls to Chip Kelly during the week? I kind of doubt it.
Oh, I think you can. Especially like the week before the Raiders played the Chiefs. I mean, he was there. Like,
I don't know.
This is the thing. I understand legends of the game get, I don't know, perks that other people do not. It's Tom Brady, for goodness sakes, right? What an ambassador for the NFL. He's important. He's super important to the history of the NFL, telling the story of the NFL. But does that really grant you just carte blanche, whatever you want to do? Because I think a lot of people, we knew Brady was, you know, with the Raiders, and we knew he was having an impact. But you watch him in the booth 10 feet away from the offensive coordinator with a headset on, looking ticked off. That was visceral. That was something different, I thought.
Yeah.
I think everyone else was like, oh man, geez, Tom, like, relax.
And by the way, just because he was a great player, that has no indication on what he's going to be. I mean, Michael Jordan could have gone into from the owner's box to the team and they couldn't win a thing.
Yep.
He's the greatest basketball player and the most competitive basketball player of all time. Derek Jeter, obviously famously bad as a baseball executive. And we usually great players are not great coaches. I mean, they don't need the money, so they don't go into coaching. But that is not the profile. I just think, like, you saw it last night, there was nowhere to go for Geno Smith. Like, where's Tom with some play calls? Is Tom really going to be like, okay, let's run this route or something? I don't think that he can really impact the team like that, Maggie, because you really got to be in there. Like, you got to put all the other stuff to the side and sit there from Monday through Friday and work 12 hours a day. As I said during the draft, he's not grinding tape of a left tackle from North Dakota State.
Well, but he might be grinding tape on your next opponent, the Washington Commanders. Right? He might be grinding tape and using his knowledge. Like, let's see how Geno and the Raiders do against Washington. By the way, some Jaden Daniels injury stuff
that
we'll get you updated on in just a moment. But if I'm Washington, if I'm the Bears, if I'm these upcoming opponents, I'm like, even if he's not, you know, play calling, it's the appearance of it. It's a conflict.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's Tom Brady, so who cares? I hate that.
It's kind of like the tush push. Everybody hates it, but they can't figure out how to get rid of it. Now it's Tom Brady's allowed to do anything, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Also, is Tom Brady, I mean, the guy's got this mystique, right? He's got some aura.
Tom Brady.
He's Tom Brady, for goodness sakes. This dude is everywhere.
Oh, it's almost like he's like Pat McAfee, the former football. He's like a star version of Pat McAfee. He's everywhere.
Like, is he going to have a daily radio show? I wouldn't be surprised. Point.
That's actually, by the way, I will say one thing about Tom Brady. That's the best media role he's had as a guest on the Colin Cowherd show. He's really good in that 10-minute spot. He's just he's totally average as a broadcaster right now.
Yeah, he's not a great caller analyst.
Oh, speaking of broadcasting, I'm sorry. Anyone having trouble with Chris Fowler's voice last night?
It felt bad for him.
That was Chris Fowler?
Yeah.
It was Fowler.
I was sitting there like, who is this guy on play-by-play?
Yeah. Adam Lozenge.
The check.
And Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah,
it's coast to coast, man.
I didn't know who it was until I went into awful announcing and I saw that it was him.
Talking about a guy who's everywhere, he calls six games a week.
Give it a rest, brother. I have a question about that. Because we go through that a little bit here. Sometimes I've tried to push through. We've pushed through. Mm-hmm. You sound a little bit sick. Should he take himself off that game?
Yes.
Yes, 100%. He did not. And I'm a big fan of Chris Fowler.
Same.
Total pro. But like,
great tennis announcer.
What game? I assume he did a Saturday night game, right?
He did. No, afternoon.
He did afternoon. He did the Tennessee-Georgia game.
Oh, he did the Tennessee-Georgia. Yeah, I mean, maybe. So maybe he wasn't worn down. But
okay, overtime had some extra plays.
You know, they've always had trouble filling that second spot on the two doubleheader on Monday night game. You just remember Greeny did it once? Chris Berman used to do it all the time. But
they don't have. Do you understand how many talented play-by-play people work at ESPN? Dudes would climb over each other to do that. It's not that they can't find somebody. It's that Chris Fowler has has a status.
But he's a college guy, too. I was a little uncomfortable with him commenting on the NFL. He's like, I was like, did you really watch week? Like, you have a lot of college duties at this point. There's only one man who can do six games a week and sound like he just got out of bed. That's Mike Tirico. He is undefeated. That guy, back in the day, Mike Tirico would call five games a week. He'd do like the Horizon League basketball game into Monday Night Football. Fowler obviously had some wear and tear. I think that was probably a mistake, but I don't know what they could have done.
Yeah, you're so right about Tirico. Tirico would be doing the biggest games of the weekend, then show up at some random basketball game on a Tuesday. It's like, Mike, go home, man.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few guys who just seem like Ian Eagle seems like he's 100% ready, and he used to call all sorts of games.
He still does. Is radio still?
Is he doing the Nets still? No. No.
Of course.
Yes, he is.
He's dropping Step Brothers references.
Yep.
He just caught a body.
And he feels like
Taylor
Swift
references.
Perfectly fresh. And like it feels like he's been prepared for every game. Fowler is also, again, a consummate pro, but he just felt worn down last night.
It sounded sick.
And Orlovsky, and I'm a big fan of both Orlovsky and Riddick, but the whole broadcast got off because they were like, oh, poor Chris. Like, don't get near me. I don't want to get whatever you have.
Lewis Riddick does a really good job pro in college also. He deserves a shout out.
Riddick was on Georgia Tech, right?
Yep. He is so good on college. He's good on pro too. All right.
Former Eagle, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
Oh my gosh.
He should be a GM.
Told you guys this would be awful.
What? Yeah.
Philadelphia winning, you see? Former Eagle.
I know. Yeah. Philly's clinched us.
Trust me, it would be everything all Chiefs and Taylor Swift. I'll live in this world.
Yeah, do you remember when we all hated the Chiefs? That feels like now that they're 0-2, it's like that's gone now.
The poor little Chiefs.
Speak for yourself.
Poor little Taylor Swift.
Yeah, why was she behind that weird curtain?
Yeah, I was about to say, and possibly
a mom.
Where are
all the conspiracy theories on all this?
Oh,
anyway.
I heard one yesterday, and it was ridiculous.
I saw a photo of her yelling at Travis on the internet yesterday. Did you guys see that?
I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a relationship, right? I yelled at every...
Honestly, they're getting married. Like, if they haven't gotten into an argument yet, then they should not be getting married. Yeah. Like, you gotta go through some of the trials and tribulations before you decide to walk down the aisle. I was thinking, have they lived together?
I don't know. Taylor Swift's pretty good at breaking up with dudes. I'm a little nervous.
Oh, break up with them at the altar. Imagine the kind of album we'd get after that.
Imagine the season we would get after that.
Yeah. Just for the song, Break Up at the Altar, it'd be a banger.
Oh, my gosh.
Travis Kelce would have to play until he was 50 to make up the money that he lost if he somehow blew this.
888-710-4ISN. This started off with a Chargers Raiders conversation. First of all,
luckiest man in the world
with the Raiders. How you feeling, Raider fans? You were sold a lot of hope here, and last night your offense, after being explosive in Week One, mustered 9 points.
Yeah, Raiders.
And are the Chargers actually different now with Jim Harbaugh year two? Justin Herbert, 888-710-4ISN, and Tom Brady. Should that guy be able to just do whatever he wants and go wherever he wants because he won seven?
I call that a little Josh Allen-y.
When you put it that way, you might convince me yes.
Maggie and Perloff show. Again, lots of injury updates that we have to get to you, which we will do in just moments. Quarterbacks going down hard. We've got the latest.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
All right, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. So if you stayed up for the Chargers, Raiders, Chargers look great, 2-0, but what does it mean? Because I swear we've seen this game that happened last night before. Chargers often look good at early parts of the season against mediocre competition. Made the playoffs last year. My opinion, we can never kill the term chargering as a verb until they do it in the postseason. I know that's a long time to wait.
Yeah,
they look really good. Yeah, of course Justin Herbert looks good. You know when Justin Herbert also looked good? His entire career he's looked good. Do it against really good competition, and we'll see. Last year, opening week, they beat Vegas 22-10 in a carbon copy of last night's game, which was 20-9. So, again, as far as the Chargers go, I need more. And well, they play Denver this week. That'll be a good test.
The defense was very good.
Yeah.
The fact they lost Khalil Mack and still were able to really just shut down Geno and the Raiders offense. We're asking you today, is anything actually different with either of these teams? We were sold different. Jim Harbaugh, year two, Justin Herbert, it's my job to get him to the Hall of Fame. You know, they got Pete Carroll coming in with Chip Kelly. Raiders offense is going to look different. Defense is going to be more spry. Tom Brady's in the building. You got Geno Smith, a real professional quarterback. Ashton Jeanty, your top 10 running back, top 10 pick. But is anything actually different? Ramon is in Indianapolis. Good morning, Ramon.
Good morning. Good morning. Great. Good morning. People, there. Nagy, you are on point. That Brady stuff, you know. Perloff, hear me out.
Yeah.
Why do we never mention that Tom Brady is a cheater? They did get caught cheating. I'm here in Indianapolis now. What the deflate game? They did get caught cheating twice. They videotaped one team.
Destroyed the phone.
Don't forget about the phone. He's a cheater.
It's funny because it really sticks to Belichick, right?
Yeah.
Cheater will be like in the second paragraph of his obituary. But Brady, it's just Teflon.
I mean,
he gets away with it. And it's like, you know, being an athlete, ex-athlete, you know, once a cheater, you're always a cheater. So I would look at that. You can't tell me he's not relaying something. He's got to be relaying something. As far as the Raiders are concerned, you don't draft a running back six. We just saw this weekend that the defense carried through 9 points. That San Diego defense was all over. I mean, San Diego. I tell you how old I am. That Chargers defense was all over the place. We saw defensive battles. Tampa Bay defense was flying. I haven't seen C.J. Stroud look so bad. That was flying all over the place. Baltimore's defense. Just some defensive struggles. You talked about it last week, Perloff building from the inside out, and these teams going outside in like the Raiders.
Yeah.
It's just not going to make it. You're not going to cut it. You've got to be tougher. I think San Diego again.
Yeah.
I think L.A. Chargers is a much tougher team. Much tougher team. They look tougher. They look much tougher. And the eye test, Michael Wilbon always talks about the eye test. And to me right now, they have the eye test I wish my Bears had. The coach showed me something with the eye test the other day. They showed me something. So we're seeing the eye test. Kansas City, the eye test, how they look to you. They didn't look good, did they, from the eye test. They just didn't.
Yeah.
And I thought Philadelphia was playing some type of junk defense to let them get that late touchdown, but they only had 10 points with almost four minutes left in the fourth quarter. So these defenses are out here, and it's a good thing to see. I'm a defensive guy anyway. So, yeah, go Chargers. Go Chargers.
Razor Ramon, thank you for the phone call, sir, this morning. And a couple things there. We are used to the defenses being ahead of the offenses early on in the season.
Yep.
So let's not forget that. That is a normal thing. I thought the Chargers defense looked better than advertised last night. And he's right about the Bucs. I mean, that goal line stand in the first game, that was beyond impressive. And I thought the Houston defense was going to be something really awesome this year. They let Baker Mayfield go down the field with a gotta-have-it touchdown drive, and there was barely any resistance. It was 11-play drive. Baker Mayfield converted 7 passes on that drive, and they had less than 2 minutes left to go.
I mean,
and it was like easy pickings.
Well, it was 4th and 10, and Baker ran for 16 yards, and they had him. I know what you're saying, but like even the best defense can't counter a running quarterback. There's nothing you can do.
Why don't they win the Super Bowl more? Like, we talk about that.
I mean, Mahomes do a lot of running in Super Bowls.
Yeah, Mahomes waits till the postseason. Yeah. But one thing about, I do disagree a little bit. That Texans defense is legit. I mean, they hit Baker a lot. So that Texas offense, Texans offense is not good.
No, not
because CJ Stroud would drop back. Either he was not letting it go, or he didn't know where to go, or there was nobody open. Something was still broken about that offense, and we thought maybe the switch of the offense coordinators. There were so many things that Ramon said too. Yeah, the Chargers eyeballing it looked pretty tough on defense, but if you look at their actual players, like that's like Tony Jefferson, right? The safety.
Yeah, team drafted me.
That's not
plays.
His son. Like that's him, right?
No, yeah,
I was thinking about this. And have Tony Jefferson, who came up with a big interception in the game. Tony Jefferson, every time you mention him now, just called up from the practice squad or something weirder.
Oh, yeah.
Like he had quit football. He was coaching. He's working at Dick's Sporting Goods. Like he's at his daughter's play.
Did you make that
play.
Up or is he really at Dick's Sporting Goods?
I don't know. It could be. Like he was at his daughter's play. They called him and he came up and he had it.
Yeah.
It's like Tony Jefferson comes from the oddest places. Like he was with Bezos going to the moon. All of a sudden the Chargers called, needed him. He's out there making plays. This dude is like ageless.
And also Keenan Allen. Same thing.
Touchdown.
That's why I'm like, how can you say it's not the same old Chargers when it's literally Justin Herbert throwing to Keenan Allen?
In 2023, he was on the Ravens scouting department.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the scout team.
Yeah. Like actually scouting.
Like wearing a polo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Team polo. So it is kind of the same old Chargers, but they do look tough. I'm looking, if the Raiders could get a mulligan on the draft already, they took Ashton Jeanty at 6 and Tenero McMillan went 8. And then Emeka Ebuka, who we saw last night, again, look awesome. Like, don't you think they would have gone outside for a receiver? Because that is one thing they were lacking for sure. They have great tight ends for what that's worth.
Yeah, no, we got that. They got the tight ends.
I feel like that you can find late-round running backs to do that. I think they need a receiver. I think they probably made a mistake there. Tom made a mistake there.
Tom, you dope. Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got the latest headlines. A lot on the table last night.
Guys, good morning. Those headlines sponsored by Prize Picks. Don't miss any of the action this football season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME.
Caden's off the chain.
And get $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Since he became a Buccaneer, Baker Mayfield has the most fourth quarter and overtime touchdown passes in the NFL. He didn't add one last night in Houston, instead running for those 15 yards to convert a fourth down, then handing off for the win.
Mayfield, head swiveling back and forth, moves his tight end, gets the snap, hands off to White over the guard, spins, corkscrews in, and it is a touchdown! It is a touchdown for Tampa Bay! They have taken the lead on a 2-yard touchdown run by White.
Kevin.
And the cat runs into the end zone.
Harlan,
that is a touchdown.
Westwood won. Rashad White's 2-yard plunge came with 6 seconds left after 11 plays and 80 yards right after Nick Chubb gave Houston the lead with a 25-yard scamper. So Baker and his Bucs engineer a 2019 escape from Houston to reach 2-0.
Similar to what I told you guys last week, in these two-minute close games, we were not on the right side of things for the past couple of years, and it's good to see that we haven't even played close to our best ball in all three phases, and we're still finding ways to win on the road, and that's really important.
As you may remember, the Bucs winning in the final moments in Atlanta back in week 1.
He sounds a little bit like Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins coach, but a slightly more energetic, forceful Mike McDaniel. Anybody hear that in that voice? No?
He hasn't quite quit yet, so that's why.
Yeah. He's like pre-quit Mike McDaniel there. I don't know what that... Yeah.
No one can match the actual content coming out of Mike McDaniel's mouth, though. Baker would never say, I'm one day closer to death. Like, as a positive.
No. By the way, remember when Baker was a polarizing figure? And now everybody loves Baker Mayfield. He's 100% approval rating.
I think he's matured. I think, he's kind of put away a lot of the, I got to tell everybody how pissed off I am and how much I got a chip on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And we're still finding ways to win on the road, and that's really important.
That was a miserable experience.
I do hear a little of the McDaniel.
One thing about Baker, it was hard. The guy lived in the Brown Stadium for 3 years.
Sure. Incredible comeback that he's made.
I'd be grumpy, too, if I'd live in the Cleveland Stadium.
The Texans, meanwhile, are 0-2, and their offense continues to struggle, as you guys have been discussing. Their last 10 points gift-wrapped by their special teams last night. Not much offense either for those Raiders. Only 218 yards total, 3 picks from Geno Smith in that 29 home loss to the Chargers in your nightcap. Not how Pete Carroll wanted to celebrate his birthday.
We didn't play well enough, and they covered us up pretty good. I'm anxious to see the film. I'm surprised that they did such a nice job on pass defense against us.
The Chargers get their first win in North America behind 2 touchdown passes from Justin Herbert, but Khalil Mack might have suffered a serious elbow injury making a tackle. It's almost like nobody wants to play Sunday's Bengals-Vikings game. Joe Burrow headed for toe surgery. J.J. McCarthy has a high ankle sprain. And Vikings running back Aaron Jones might be out with a hamstring.
What the f*** are we doing, man?
McCarthy expected to miss multiple weeks. So Carson Wentz is once again a starting quarterback.
Perloff, does some kind of alarm go off at your house when Wentz gets called into action? It's like your Commissioner Gordon with the bat phones. Like, we're up. Tell him we're back.
It's like a seismograph just going off.
This is so funny. This show is painting me as the giant Carson Wentz fan because we had this poster behind me for years that you guys wanted to get rid of. I was never a Carson Wentz fan. I 100% wanted Jalen Hurts to play over Carson Wentz.
Yeah. No, it's like, not just that, Pearl.
I think Carson Wentz is talented, but I'm not like, of the backup quarterbacks that I love, he is not one of them.
Okay, but if we had a nickel for every time you were like, why isn't this team signing Carson Wentz as a backup?
Yeah.
We could do the show in Hawaii.
Well, he is going to be Sam Darnold 2.0 in Minnesota this year. Are you guys going to jump back on the Carson Wentz bandwagon?
No.
What's wrong
with Carson? But you will.
He's 6'4 or 6'3. He has a good arm. He can run. Like, why isn't Carson? I never understood why Carson Wentz wasn't at least a backup.
Because people clearly don't like this guy.
Yeah, but
there's something about him that rubs people the wrong way. He's always the last guy signed. It's always begrudgingly. Teams are like, hold your nose. Like, you're right. Talent-wise, he should be like fringe starter.
But is he that bad? Because he changed the radio station in the weight room? If that's like the damning report. Like, what did this guy do? You look at the characters that people are signing. Like, everyone's like, should we trade for Tyreek Hill? Carson Wentz is nothing like that. Is he that bad? He's like mildly unlikable.
The locker room has spoken many times. I mean, Jim Irsay, who, you know, had his own character concerns, may he rest in peace, was like, ship him out.
There wasn't like zeros on the clock. He was already tweeting. All right, who's our quarterback next year?
He's like, get this guy out.
He's with Kevin O'Connell.
Right, which is where, you know, all quarterbacks succeed. But
I feel like Carson Wentz is in his 30s now. He's probably a jerk early on. He's fine. He's a backup quarterback.
Meanwhile, we destroyed that Carson Wentz poster. Yeah. We did it for charity to try to balance out our karmic whatever in the world, like karmic balance. Yeah. We destroyed the poster. Nothing personal, Carson. And we made donations to all the Boys and Girls Clubs of where he played. At the time, it would have bankrupted us if we had done it now. He's been with so many different teams. But I still get very nice letters from the Fargo, North Dakota Boys and Girls Club, who we made a really significant impact on because we gave them money, but also they were so baffled by why we would do this.
It was great.
Yeah.
I like Bogues' theory that nobody wants to play in this game and everyone's like, you know, making excuses. Like, you know, it's somebody's birthday party and no one really wants to go. They're like, oh man, I got a cough. Like, they just, why does everyone want out of this particular game?
Bogues, I don't know. Party. That's fair. I feel like the game often, you're right.
A couple everyone years cancels ago, on Manny. Bogus 5 minutes before.
A couple years ago, Jake Browning actually played in this game against the Vikings, and Kevin O'Connell mentioned that, Taylor mentioned that a couple days ago, and it was a great game. It was towards the end of the year. So maybe this is a repeat of that affair between the Bengals and the Vikings?
Listen, after last night, I'll take any offense.
Seriously.
There was a time during the first game where nobody scored for like 40 real-time minutes.
Did you see all those punts, all the special teams? It was awesome. Special teams played a factor in one of those games, by the way.
That's true.
Do you guys remember the Raiders-Vikings game that was 3-0?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
That was, who was the quarterback? That was like Josh Dobbs and who knows?
And it was, I think, Aiden O'Connell. Yeah.
Yeah.
AOC.
That's a week 17. Bogues, thank you. We got to take a quick break. Thanks so much. We have more news to get to with these injured QBs. As Bogues mentioned, J.J. McCarthy and Joe Burrow. We got another one for you who's questionable for this Sunday MVP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Question out there for you. Are the Raiders and Chargers really changed franchises? Because that's kind of what you were sold if you were a Raider or Chargers fans. Like, all right, we got yeah. Jim Harbaugh. He's somebody who's gotten a team to a Super Bowl before, won a college national championship. He's going to make Justin Herbert into an MVP. And so far, Herbert looks really good. There was a moment last night, though, when they, in the fourth quarter, they get the ball back and they have a chance to, like, they were already up two scores. They were up 11. They end up winning the game 20-9. But they really could have shut the door, and they ended up, like, throwing on the final drive. They end up going three and out, which I thought was weird. But anyway.
You got to take down Pete Carroll. That rivalry has roots, Maggie.
That is true. The yeah. Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll goes all the way back to does it go back to college? San Francisco, Seattle, for sure. But does it go back to Stanford and USC, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Probably San Diego, USC. And Jim, when he was younger, was pretty abrasive, I imagine.
Yeah, no, he's a character. So are the Chargers really any different now with Jim Harbaugh? Year two is generally where his impact is felt the most historically. Yeah. And then same thing for the Raiders. Like, you were sold a different Raiders. You've been in this weird quarterback situation, coaches not settled, front office a mess. Are you actually sold this is any different? Meanwhile, the Raiders' next opponent are the Washington Commanders, Pearl. Jaden Daniels pops up on the injury report now, day-to-day with a knee sprain. Adam Schefter saying before the game, or maybe it was halftime last night of the first game, said there are people in the building who are trying, Jaden Daniels wants to play. Of course he wants to play. But there are people in the building who are starting to think otherwise and trying to maybe convince him that this is, you know, he should really take it easy. I got to be honest, I was getting shades and flashbacks of RG3. Now, it's a totally different regime. It's not Mike Shanahan there. It's not Daniel Snyder. It's totally different people in the building. But it's year two, RG3 is where he had a knee injury. They put him back in the game too early. They put him back in a game where he got hurt. And it felt like he was almost never the same after that.
Oh, gosh. Why do you got to do that, Maggie? It's too early in the morning.
Sorry.
No, I did. And you're right. And he's taken a lot of hits this year. But I just can't let myself do that because I like him too much as a player. You're
allowed. We all liked RG3 as a player.
RG3
was the savior of that franchise.
The fastest quarterback I've ever seen in my life, even faster than Lamar Jackson. And I'll swear to that. I mean, obviously, he had track speed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope you are dead wrong on that one. I really do, because you could easily be right.
So Dan Quinn said Daniels had an MRI, already begun his return to play process. He is truly day to day. So what does that mean for Sunday? I can't tell you right now.
I got to tell you one thing. I bet against Marcus Mariota in one game last year, the Dallas game, the finale. I don't know if you remember that. That guy played, I mean, he was as perfect as I've ever seen a quarterback play a game, was Marcus Mariota against Dallas. He was 15 for 18, two touchdowns. 141. Oh, no, he had a ton of yards. He was amazing. And he actually was amazing in every. He's not a bad backup. I'm telling you right now, watch out for Marcus Mariota. You talk about it. I love backup quarterbacks. Mariota is good enough to fill in here, by the way, if they have to. I'm being dead serious about that.
Was Mariota a Raiders quarterback at some point? Yeah, he was, right?
Of course. But he's 31 now. He's been around a long time. Of course, he had a little stint in Philly, so I like that. But I'm telling you, he's pretty good as a backup. He'll kill a bet or two. Like, do not bet against my man, Marcus Mariota.
Man, do you want to come clean on some bets from last night? Dummy. I'm such a dummy sometimes.
Wait, where did you bet last night?
Well, I was watching the first game, Texans-Bucks, yeah. And you know, this game was a one-score game, and all of a sudden, Texans block a punt, set themselves up in this great field position, so I live bet them at plus 290.
Got plus 290 after blocking a punt?
Yes, I got plus 290. This has happened to me a couple times, these live bets. I'm like looking around like, why isn't anyone else here? Why am I the only person? Seems like live betting them right now. And there's a reason, because Baker Mayfield then took over and sliced their way through, took over with about 2 minutes left. Slice their way through because the Texans' offense couldn't—they scored a field goal off of that, but couldn't punch in the end zone.
Yeah. Special teams.
Nick Chubb looked washed last night until that last touchdown. But the thing about a guy like Baker Mayfield—if you give him four downs, Maggie—it is really, really hard to stop him. Like it's hard for
the Texans' defense off the hook there.
Oh, I mean, it's fourth and 10, and the guy scrambles. What are you supposed to do? Then they just gave up. They got tired.
Yeah. No, I know. No, yeah. I mean, the Bucks. As much as we want to clown Todd Bowles, not much of a personality, his team is sound at the end of games. Mm. They're ready to go. I know he's the defensive guy, not the offensive guy, but their defense last night held those goal line stands. EJ, you picked the Texans to win the Super Bowl?
Go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I just thought there'd be more growth once they got slower, got the building, but they look worse on offense to me.
But I have a question. Is it CJ Stroud doesn't know where to go with the ball or will not throw it or can't release it, or is there nowhere to go with the ball?
I think he has no trust in his offensive line, and he shouldn't. They're horrendous.
But then why is he holding the ball? We get rid of it.
I don't think he's getting as much time as you think. I think there are times, yes, there are times he's holding the ball. He has a lot of receivers that have been injured. He talked about that a little bit in the postgame. But I think that offensive line, it feels like every other play, he is just under siege. And it's like he doesn't know where to go with the ball because he knows he has 2 seconds or 1 second to get rid of it.
I actually don't agree. I think he needs to get rid of the ball faster. There was one play where the running back missed the blitz, or we actually tried to stop the blitz, but CJ didn't do anything. Like you gotta feel that coming at you. You gotta get rid of it. Like I don't care if you throw it out of bounds. That guy gets hit all the time.
Abysmal in the red zone.
And you need some run game too to help him as well. But by the way, he's obviously super talented as well. He made some beautiful throws.
Yeah, but there's something that's keeping the Texans and Stroud from really ascending to that tier one guy, which is what his trajectory was after his rookie year.
That being said, Houston, EJ, I would not feel bad about that pick. They obviously, the NFC is so far ahead of the AFC right now, so they lost to the Rams and the Bucks, two division winners from the NFC. Like, AFC South is, 0-400 against the NFC? Mm. Like, I would not count. Like, they'll whoop on the AFC.
Yeah, they'll be fine because that defense is still good. But the offense, like, oh, man, there's no growth. How is there no growth? They had a whole offseason.
Tough first two games.
Yeah,
it is. Their schedule gets a lot easier.
Two good defenses.
Which NFL team is best suited to withstand their quarterback injuries? Because now we got a trio of them. We've got Burrow. We've got J.J. McCarthy. Jaden Daniels is day-to-day. So much to get to and more from last night's games. Maggie Burrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.